I might have said the shmooze in the past, maybe even last year, I'm not sure, but there's new young guys around, right? And I think I have a different chiddush this year, on both sides, on the first shmooze. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Melech Mitzrayim, Rom Moshe V'Aaron, why Moshe V'Aaron tafriu so massive? Why you are disturbing the people from working? Go do your job. Go do your work. Go, take a walk." It says Daskenim, Pirush Rashi, Sheshevet Revi Lo Mishtabet. I was wondering, why weren't they working? What's going on? Why was Moshe V'Aaron not working? Because Shevet Revi was not Mishtabet. They were not working. They were not in B'chad Shibut. V'chein Itmar Medrash Kid Metchila. Because what happened initially, when they first became a Shubat, Kid Metchila, Kishebolehen B'perach. B'perach, right, says, that's Mnesho B'forach, right, that's the Russian of the Pasuk in Shemos, that they made them work B'forach. B'forach, what does that mean? B'perach, with a soft, consoling voice. Kedashina L'il, an encouraging voice, Kedashin Le'il, Omar Shevet Revi, Asidim Anu Ravod, Avodas Masa, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Horigo Shalo Navod Shum Avodal Rosh Hazeh, Bishum Schar, Shiten Lanu. So basically, there's what happened, seems to be what happened was initially, when they first, Paro was a smart man, very devious, he planned things out, he was a very smart, tactician, and he didn't go ahead, he's not going to go ahead and get all these Jews to work for nothing. Not good PR, they won't let him, too much resistance, too much rebellion, it's not a good way to do things, right? So you get him into little by little. So what was his plan? So what did he do? So initially he went ahead and offered them a job, offered them a nice high salary, I'll give you $100,000 to work for me, and it was a great salary, people were encouraged to join and work for the, join Paro's workforce. Eventually later on, he weaned them off the money, and he said, listen, I need to do this, once they're already working for him. So later on, he cut the money. They were mamash avadim later on. But initially, it was a good job. It was a nice paying job. It was offered. It was, all the prestigious. It was maybe prestigious to a certain degree, at least to the mitzvah probably was. But it was a good job. It was offered a good parnasa. So initially, what happened? So when that happened, so the Levium were felt, we can't say yes. We can't say yes because, listen, I guess they knew from the Vua. They would eventually serve in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. That was their job. They'll serve in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. So it says, we're going to serve. We're going to be the ones that are appointed. Osir Anu. What's the Russian? Where are we? I'm sorry. Asidim Anu Ravod Avodas Masa. We're in the future going to serve Avodas Masa Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're going to be the ones carrying the Beis HaMikdash. We can't go ahead and work for this Russia, this Paro. No matter how much money he gives us, other people were offered money. They were also offered money, but they had something different. Their future prognosis was they would go ahead and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not shame. It's pasnish. It's not appropriate. Therefore, what did Levim do? They answered Kulam. They made up a good excuse. We don't know how to take care. We don't know how to make bricks and mortar. From that day onwards, he had no way. Since they weren't working for him initially, so he had no way of enticing them because they were out there. They weren't part of his workforce. Once you're part of the workforce and getting paid, so you cut the salary, cut it down to half, down to quarter, down to nothing, something like that. But for Bnei Levi, since initially they were protected, they abstained. They did not sign up for the job, and therefore they weren't subject. They weren't able. They weren't eligible, and they were safe from the hard work and the shibud galus later on. The shibud. So I'll say it's very interesting. If someone would ask me a shaila, we have a bunch of guys in the base medrash here. A boy says to me, Rabbi, I was offered a job, it's not the greatest job, but okay, I hope mission to be the Gadol HaDor someday. I hope to be a Rebbe someplace, hope to be a lawyer, whatever it might be. Doesn't make it some chashuv position. Is it okay? Can I go ahead and take the job? I say, listen, is it okay for you now? Is it appropriate? Is it possible? It's not a terrible job. It's not the most prestigious job, but it's not a terrible job now. Later on, I'll go ahead and become a Rosh Yeshiva someplace, or become a rabbi, or become a poser, become a lawyer, become a doctor. Okay, so don't do it then, but you can do it now. What's the big deal? Right? That's what I would have said. Sounds like from Das Kenem it says it's not true. If a person appreciates and recognizes who is going to be later on, forget about the now. That's Gadlus Adam. Gadlus Adam is great. It's chash, it's important. If a person knows how chashvi is now, that's super machriya and super guideline. How should I conduct myself now? It's not past. It's not appropriate. I'm Ben Torah. I can't walk across the street in my shorts. Right? Certain things you don't do. Right? For a regular guy off the street, it's appropriate. But if I'm a chashva, if I'm expected to act on a certain level, if I was given such a special, matanas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put in a special position, given the chance to become part of a Kai Yisrael's legion of Torah ambassadors to learn Torah and to teach Torah, so I can't act in a certain way. That's if you have the job right now. But if you have no job right now, right, you're a regular, simple Jew, and for what you're doing now, there's nothing wrong. All the rest of the Jews, they will take the job. But down the road, what does down the road mean? Over 100 years, maybe 150 years, maybe 200 years, right? This was near the beginning of the Shibud. So they were in Mitzrayim 210 years, so when Yaakov and Yosef were alive, it didn't happen, so I don't know exactly when it happened. I don't have the exact chronology in front of me. We're talking about over 100 years, 150 years, something like that, that there was a Shibud, right? I mean, know how long the Shibud lasted, actual Shibud? I don't remember, whatever it was. But it wasn't the year or two before. So we're talking about down the road. So I see them in the future. Sometime down the road, they'll be. I'm going to go ahead and be the Ever Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. But if I have to think of the future, I can't just look at the how and now. I have to what's happening with me right now. I have to prepare myself. It'll be a blemish on me if I walk into that job description later on. That job later on. Let's say. So what happened 100 years ago? Oh, you used to work for Paro. Now, Paro's not such a good guy, okay? It's not such a great job. It's, obviously with Paro Rashi says, you work for Paro the Russia? I can't let you work for me. I can't let you work in the Mishka now. It's inappropriate. It's the pastish. Doesn't. So when a person has this perspective earlier, not just the fact that now I'm a chashva person, I can't go ahead and act in a way. There's nothing wrong with it for now. But I have to be cognizant and respectful of what I'm going to be later on, and therefore that will control me, that will induce me and guide me. How should I react now? It's not appropriate to act in a certain way now if in the future. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do anything. I'm not, you have to be careful how you apply this on both sides. It doesn't mean you can't do anything. There's different madregas. There's more chashiv if you're super chashiv now as opposed to super chashiv later on. But the bottom line is, we see it has an effect. The fact that later on, I'm going to go ahead and be a chashiv person. I'm in the yeshiva now. I hope to become a big Ben Torah. And I'll learn for 14 years. I'll learn for 5 years, whatever it is, right? I'm going to be an uncertain madrega later on. That's chashivus. That's special. I'm expected now to behave in a way which is conducive and which fits in with what's going to happen to me later on. Because it's all one system, my brothers. It's one personality, one person. And it affects it's a resume, so to speak. You have to be careful. It's going to be on the resume. So it's important to keep that in mind. It'll help us out. I mean, over here, what could happen over here to them? They were mamish saved from the gullet, from the shibud. Look how it saved them, my brothers. So this hargosh they had, that I have to act in a certain way now. Because what's going to be in the future, it saved them from the shibud of Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. So it's very beneficial for us to not just think about the current Galus Adam, which is so chashuv. I'm not trying to knock that chashuv. That's very important. But even more than that, the higher madrega or greater reaching, far-reaching consequences are both sides, is the fact that I'm going to become something later on also. I'm not so chashuv now, but I'm a Ben Torah. I'm going to become a bigger Ben Torah. I'm going to become a chashuv Rav someday. I'll become a chashuv Posik someday. I'll be a chashuv Balabas someday. I'll be the president of the shul someday. I'll be a chashva, even chashva lawyer, an upstanding, Jewish citizen. All that are both as part of what should direct a person's hanhagas today. And that's a powerful way of guiding oneself to what one should or one should not do. Then we have the second pasuk of both sides, which is really early in the parasha. But the pasuk talks about the Bas Paro, the famous story. She went down, she sees his teva. But Tishach has Amosa, but Yochel, she sent her hand, Rashi says, Heim Darshu, bottom of the Rashi over there, Heim Darshu, Es Amosa, Es Yoda. Amosa does not mean her maidservant, it means her hand. V'shtarvava, Amosa, Amos Harbe, Amos Harbe. And her hand just extended many Amos. So it's not clear what this means exactly, but it seems from Rechaim Shmulevitz, so I said over a different time, the Shmuz, Right? It seems he's learning Pashas. It wasn't a special miracle that happened all of a sudden. It wasn't a crazy miracle. All of a sudden, her hand became 5 feet, 10 feet long. But rather, as Ruchayim Shmulevitz says, what happened over here was, and the way he explains it was, we have to imargish the kokos a person has. You know, he explains how before Adam Rishon had got the chet, before his nichshel in the chet, we know, Chazal tell us that Adam was a powerful person. He was super, super strong, super motivated. He's Meirosho Matsofo, Meirosho Matsofo, the whole world. He was a powerful person. After the chet, he was nismat. He was limited in his abilities, his kochos. But the natural ingrained potential within him, even physically, remained to a certain degree. There was something left. So you see a person walking down the block, and he can do the 4 minute mile. He can really probably do the 3.5 minute mile. You know, a guy can bench press 200 pounds. He can if he tries hard enough, he can bench press 500 pounds. Because whatever you see, there's so much more behind the scenes left over from pre the chet. So that's part over here. Because since she was so motivated, she saw someone she really cared, she wanted with all her heart to go ahead and save that, help that baby out. So Mayla, somehow, what seemed unimaginable and physically impossible before without the motivation became normal, became doable. And therefore, you know, it's hard to know what it means. You know, she can reach a little further, you know. It says Amos Harbi, so I'm not sure what that means exactly. But pshat is that, but a person has to recognize that and fakert. She wasn't praised because she had a long hand because of that. And the same thing applies to I brought the Python in Filas Geshem. So we talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu. We ask Hashem to please remember all the different Gedolim, what they did. And we talk about Yaakov Avinu. What happened to him? Zachor, Ton Makro, V'Avra Yad Nemayim, Yichad Reiv, Ugo Evan. He went ahead and he focused his heart. He concentrated. And he focused what I have to do. To go Evan Mipia Ber Mayim, and he threw off the rock. He came to visit. He came to Charan, whatever, and he wanted to meet to Rachel. Wanted to find her, and he sees this young lady who thought was Rachel coming down the block, and he summoned all his kochos, and he took off, rolled off that monstrous rock from on top of the well. So what's shot? Was he so strong? No, he wasn't so strong. He was strong because it was Yichad Reiv, the Python says. It wasn't because he was praised because I'm such a powerful superman. He wasn't a powerful guy. He was the same as all of us here, maybe a little stronger. I don't know exactly, but it wasn't because of his natural strength. It's because it was Yichad Reiv. When a person is motivated and focused and tries with all his heart, with all his might, he puts everything into it. You know, you hear all these stories, you know, in the stories in the newspaper, something you hear about this guy that his wife was caught underneath the car in the car accident, and he went out, picked up the car. He had so much adrenaline flowing. He was so motivated. So he got superhuman strength. He's not superhuman strong. He's not like that. He's not natural born like that. But it's leaked beneath him. Inside, there's that kokos we have on both sides. That's what happened with Basia. She had those kokos to go to reach even farther if she's motivated. So both sarachs kama kama, if we're talking about, you know, the physical mundane things, a person that gets motivated and can do physical, powerful, unimaginable things when it comes to Torah and Yir Shamayim, Midos Tovos, develop those things, where all we require both say is motivation. If you push yourself and you're excited, you want to do it, you want to accomplish, yeah, I want to become a Talmud Chacham, I want to become a bigger Baal Midos, I want to become a bigger Gadol Hador, I want to become whatever it is. It applies in the secular field also, but for sure it's so much easier. There's so much more siyata shmaya. Hashem gave a person the kochos, you know, to do much more than he can physically do, than he thinks he can physically do. And therefore, by pushing harder, if a person motivates, and that's what learning Musar is all about. You motivate yourself by I want that goal so desperately, so importantly. It's so chashuv to me that I want to cover the quota this week. It's so important. So you push harder, and you can accomplish what you thought. Rebbe, I can't do it. It's too hard for me. I can't understand. You focus, you concentrate, you try because you want that goal. You have to make sure the goal is chashuv to yourself. If the goal of getting that little baby from the river is chashuv, you can accomplish phenomenal things. If your goal to knock off, to throw the rock off, to roll the rock off, you can accomplish phenomenal things beyond belief. If your goal is, if you really want the goal of becoming a Ben Torah, you want to become a bigger Baal Musar, you want to become bigger Yer Shamayim, so the kochos you have deeply ingrained within your Abosei is so much beyond what we naturally assume it is. And that will make all the difference in the world. Shkoyach.